I would like you to take the Word of God and turn with me, please, to the Old Testament book of Exodus. And we'll begin in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. I'm very grateful to God to be a pastor, and in particular, to be the pastor of this church. I grew up as a child without a pastor. My family was not in church. As a matter of fact, when my father died, in my early teen years, my father died on Easter Sunday. And we had to try to find a preacher to conduct his funeral, and we didn't know one. We had a graveside service in Selma, Alabama, and my family went through the phone directory to find someone with Reverend by his name, a stranger to us. But anyway, that's the way it happened. And we could have been helped and comforted, strengthened. It was no one's fault but our own. So much more than we were if we had had a relationship with the Lord and with the Lord's people and with a pastor and a church. But we didn't. A very confusing, very difficult time in my life. And I know in the life of my brother and two sisters, my mother, and then other family members who were there who had no pastor, no one to help. And so when I think about that, and I've thought about that all these years, 45 years now in the ministry, when I think about that, I think about you families who come and go and some visit from time to time. You need to make sure that you have a home in heaven, that you've asked God to forgive your sin and by faith trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. We are not going to stay here forever. We're not going to stay here forever. You need to make sure you've settled that. No doubt about it. Then you need to make sure that you have been working hard to have a Christian home. That's a fortress, you see. It's a fortress in this world that we all need. It's a safe haven. It's a place where you could have faced anything imaginable during a day or through some family crisis or some other type of crisis. Some frontal attack by the devil or the world and the flesh. But you have a home that becomes that haven, that shelter, that fortress. Work hard at it. Don't let anything rob you from it. Make the place you live not just a house. I heard a woman the other day say, when she was explaining to somebody, she said, "I stay here." I've heard the expression for years and years. Some people say, "This is where I stay." That's a ridiculous statement. I understand what they mean, but that's a ridiculous statement. You should have a home. And you have to work to make it a home, and it should be a Christian home. No doubt about it. And then everybody needs a church home. We have fewer people going to church today than ever in the history of America. We don't have one county out of 3,200 plus counties in America where more people are attending church than they did 10 years ago. Not one county where that's growing. It's amazing, isn't it? More people in this county do not go to church than the people who go to church faithfully. And this is a crisis hour in human history. A lot of the problems with churches, no doubt about that. Maybe most of the problems with churches, and we have our problems and we ought to work at them. But most churches have become so much like the world, so very much like the world, that people are not getting the spiritual help they need. It's just some temporary relief. You don't raise children in a day and you don't build strong Christians in a day. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, the Word of God given over a period of time and received into our hearts that God uses to transform our lives. There's not a quick fix for that. Salvation is instantaneous. But Christian maturity takes long, long periods of time of growing in the Lord. As a matter of fact, you can make a spiritual decision in a moment, but spiritual maturity does not come in a moment. And we fight those battles, you know, trying to do the thing that someone would like for us to do, but staying with the truth, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's like some people would like to eat junk food all their lives, but they're not going to build strong bodies. And we need the Word of God and obedience to the Word of God and fellowship with God's people. Even the hymns we sing, most of the places that's been given up today, but take the hymns as they would be written as poems or as some sort of verse and read and see the biblical truth that's expressed in those hymns that's being lost for the most part for a generation. And so may God help us not just to do the right thing, but do it in the right spirit. And we have received light, and we're going to be accountable to God for the light we've received. May God help us. And now you have your Bible open. Yeah, this is one of those days, you know, the preacher likes to ramble a little bit. In the book of Exodus chapter 19, let me read just a few verses here, then go to another passage that complements this. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. If you're in the habit of marking things, if you have not marked this expression, I want you to mark the way God describes His work in our lives. I bear you on eagle's wings. I bear you on eagle's wings. Now the Lord is relating to us the way He does His work in each of our lives. These are the very words of God given to Moses to tell to the people. I bear you on eagle's wings. Notice he says, this is to bring you unto myself. When I was a boy, we moved around lots. I remember most of that, of course. My mother told me once that we lived in 19 different places since I was born till the third grade. Plus places she lived before I came along, about 2 years after she and my dad were married. Everywhere, moving everywhere, towns, cities, relocating. And you can describe that kind of thing as geographical moves, places where the location differed. But God says that He loves us with an everlasting love. And every move in our life is to accomplish His purpose, the meaning of our life, to bring us to Himself. God wants to bring us to Himself. If you could allow me just for a moment to speak to you as if just you and I were in the room. I want to tell you this. It is God's desire to work in your life for you to know Him. He desires to bring you to Himself. This is God's desire. I'm talking about the God of heaven and earth, the one who made you, the Creator God, the Almighty God, the God who spoke the world into existence. He's that concerned about you that all these things you think are swirling about you and all these things that you think are happening to you, God is using all of that as an opportunity to bring you to Himself. That's how much God cares about you. I know the story of many of you well enough to tell your story for you. And I say for your story and my story, this is true. God has been working to bring us to Himself. And He tells us how He does it. I bear you on eagles' wings. This is the meaning of life, to bring us to God, and the method He uses is to bear us on eagle's wings. So the more we understand about the eagle, the more we're going to understand about how God will be working in our lives all our life long. So I want you to turn with me, please, to another passage of Scripture that complements this in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 32nd chapter. Now, this is an amazing chapter in the Bible. I'm going to just dig into the heart of it, but I really would love for you to read the entire 32nd chapter at one setting. It will help you more than you could ever imagine. God describes His rebellious people and finally says to them in verse 20, and He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. Notice the last expression in verse 20. God says that His people, His chosen people, the people that He chose to make Himself known to all the people in the world. Imagine that. Let's say that we took several hundred of you here in just one of these sections in this building, and we said, we're going to take the three of you from those hundreds in here, and you've got others to talk to, hundreds of people to talk to, but we're going to explain to you about God. We're going to help you to understand God. We want to tell you about God, and it's your responsibility to tell everybody else about God. The Lord chose a people. We refer to them as His chosen people, the Jews, and He chose them in this particular period of time. He chose the man Abraham, and from Abraham, Abraham's son Isaac, and Isaac's son Jacob, and the children of Jacob, there was a chosen, and God made Himself known to these Hebrew people, and He said, now it's your responsibility to tell the whole world of people about me and how I've dealt with you. And by the way, it was an amazing thing that these few people on a land bridge between three continents could fend off enemy after enemy, army after army, nation after nation without being defeated as long as they pleased God and obeyed God. But then they disobeyed God. And because of their disobedience, God set them aside. And they're still set aside. He's not finished with them, but they're still set aside because they would not do what God wanted them to do. And He said, it's going to get so bad with you that your children are going to be children in whom there is no faith. Now, in principle, we see that working with lots of people and lots of families. We see people get away from God and they could have had a beautiful family. They could have done the right thing. They could have had everything God wanted them to have if they lived lives of obedience to the Lord. But they began to drift. I know people who once sat where you're sitting and they had heard what you're hearing and they had every opportunity and more than what some of you have had. They had a godly heritage received. But they decided they'd disobey the Lord, do as they pleased, and they thought, it'll only affect us, but it didn't just affect them. It affected everyone who knew them, and it also affected their children. And as it affected their children, it will affect their children's children. Can you imagine that there could be a time when people who once knew the Lord and served the Lord and saw God demonstrate His mighty power to them, can you imagine that there could be a time when there would be children connected with them in whom there would be no faith. No faith. No God. That's what God warned about here. That's what we see in our own nation. We have lost, for the most part, we have lost a generation of children in America to the Christian faith. And that is a serious offense against God. And may God help us. May God help us. But right in the heart of this 32nd chapter, the Lord talks about Himself. In verses 9, 10, and 11, He says, for the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Then the Lord says here, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. As an eagle, notice verse 11, as an eagle, verse 12, so the Lord. As an eagle, so the Lord. As an eagle, so the Lord. Now God says to Moses, I want you to go down and tell the people. God said in Exodus chapter 19, go down and tell the people that I'm going to bear them on eagle's wings. I'm going to do for them like an eagle does for her young and bring them to myself. And then in more detail, God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 32 how an eagle does her work. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. God says, I want you to understand the eagle, and you'll understand how I work in your life. And beloved, this is not one time. This is for a lifetime how God works. If you'd asked me to explain this to you 30 years ago, I might have said to you, this is how God is going to work. And I would have thought maybe that will happen once in your life. God will demonstrate this to you. But it doesn't happen once in your life. It doesn't just happen once in the life of your children. This is the way the Lord works all through our lives. And I want you to write these things down, and I'll deal with them quickly. Notice, he says here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord. First we say, as an eagle builds, so the Lord builds. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. He builds. An eagle builds. From the study of eagles, we know that an eagle finds a rocky ledge someplace high above where predators cannot reach to build a nest. Now, there's a purpose in that nest. All care is taken for building the right kind of nest. Things are laid out with the right support system, cushioned a certain way, because the mother is going to have little eaglets there someday. The eggs are there. The period of time lapses that the eggs need before the little eaglets are hatched. But before any of that can take place, there's the building of the nest. And as an eagle builds, so the Lord builds. And you and I, we get on our merry way in life and we say, here are the objectives I have. These are the things I'm going to do in life. This is what I have planned. I'm ruling in this thing and this is the way I'm going to do it. And so we set out to follow through with our plans and our way of doing it, and we're building a life. We may even be so specific about it, we decide that we're going to have this kind of house or this kind of apartment, and are we going to marry this kind of man or maybe this kind of woman or whatever the case may be. We may even be so bold as to say, I'd like to have this type of children, and I'd like to have this many of this sex and this many of this, or whatever the case may be. We just make our plans to build. But we've forgotten something. While we're working, God is working. And all of a sudden, something happens to our cherished dreams and plans. Something interrupts our schedule. And we call this interruption a mistake, or a fault, or a failure, or an accident, or whatever. We give it some name because something has interfered with the way we have it all planned. The way we're building it. There's a God in heaven who says to us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He's the God who dared to have Paul write to the Corinthian church, all things are for your sakes. All things. I don't know anyone else who can take crooked things and make straight things out of them. that can make life's greatest failures into life's greatest successes. Or it could squeeze us through the dark hours in life and make it the real building blocks we need to be the people God wants us to be. I don't know anybody else who can take a messed up marriage and make out of that marriage great lessons for people to learn to have the right kind of marriage that sets in motion a blessing for them and for their children. I'm telling you, as an eagle builds, so the Lord builds. There's a building process going on. Don't forget God in your life and His building work. My father died, as I said, when I was just a boy. My mother married again after the death of my father. And she married a man who owned his own construction company. A very particular man who became a great husband to my mother and father to my brother and two sisters. I was already out of the home. And a man who we cherished and loved greatly. But he was so particular about his work, he would go by and see where a job was going on. And if it didn't please him, where the foundation had been put in, they dug the footer and laid the block and had everything ready. If it didn't please him, if it wasn't the way it should be, and he knew it wasn't going to turn out the right way, he would take all the labor, all the work that they had done, and he'd say, just simply tear it down. I saw him do it numbers of times. Tear it down. And I would think, you won't let that pass? He said, no, I won't let that pass, because when we start trying to build on that bad foundation, it will never hold properly what we want to put on it. Tear it down. Tear it down. And they start all over again. That leads me to the second thing. As the Lord builds, so the eagle builds. As an eagle builds, so the Lord builds. But as an eagle breaks, so the Lord breaks. That's a tough process. That nest that eagle spent so much time constructing, the same eagle that spent so much time constructing it is now going to destruct it. And the limbs that were lying horizontal across it, and the soft, cushiony stuff that was found through the great searching processes to put in it to make it comfortable for those little eaglets, it has to be broken up now. Because those little eaglets were not born in that nest to stay in that nest. They were born to fly. And they have to get out of that nest. And so there's a great breaking up process, the stirring it up. And with those strong talents, the eagle reaches into that nest and makes it uncomfortable for those little eaglets. I've said in the past, if they could speak, they'd say, ow! Ooh, that stuck. That used to be a place I could scoot over and cuddle down in. But now there's a sharp, pointed object there. It's no longer comfortable. Why? She's breaking it up. She's stirring it up. And some of you are saying, well, you know, I had everything worked out perfectly. It was all planned so wonderfully well. And then this happened. Someone met me coming into this place of worship today and said, we're moving. That's a stirring up. That's a breaking up of the nest. It's not just the work of human beings. These are Christian people. So they must, by faith, for their good, see God's hand in this. God has something going on in this too. The Lord's at work. I thought once, if you're going to serve the Lord, you had to be like a decathlon athlete. I've always admired that decathlon athlete, you know, who was the greatest athlete in the world. And if you're going to serve the Lord, you ought to be like that decathlon athlete. Everything's got to be perfect about body and strength and mind. And then God started dealing with my body. My doctor said, you've got a problem. You need some x-rays made. This is years ago, of course. I remember the first time I went to the hospital to have the x-rays made, and the x-ray tech stopped me coming out, and they said, I may lose my job if anybody ever knows I did this, but you need to sit down. This is the worst looking thing I've ever seen in my life. I didn't think anything bad was wrong. I remember when I finally went to have the surgery, I said to the doctor, look, I can still raise my legs and kick and do anything I want to do. And he says, you haven't seen the pictures, have you? I said, no. He said, well, there's some things that have got to be fixed. One doctor said, this is 15 years ago, you'll never be the same. You'll never walk. And I thank God he's intervened and all the wonderful things the Lord's done extend my life. But I faced something I thought I'd never have to face. You know how you're going to raise your children and they're going to be the best and most perfect kids that ever lived? And you're never going to have a problem? And my sons have been such a blessing and encouragement, and to this day are. But I know what it's like, my wife and I, to deal with certain things, as anybody who rears children will know. Why? Because there must be a breaking up process. I've stood with many a man and many a woman, mother and father, beside a sickbed with a child. And I thought, dear God, they're going through something I've never had to go through. I've stood beside people who are standing waiting for their loved ones to die. What about a man who said just a moment ago, 14 years old, cancer as a 14-year-old? Do you know, as a pastor has a broad mind. Now, you think pastors are just narrow-minded bigots, but a pastor has a broad mind. And you know, when he made that statement, and I'd heard that before, but when he made that statement, my mind went back to his pastor father, his mother, his childhood, his friends, the scope of that whole thing, a 14-year-old child, and already the developmental stage that child is in, and thinking about future, past, present, trying to decide if you have the opportunity to become an adult, or you are an adult, or you're a child, or you were a child, and all that added into that complicated situation. Let me say to you, while they went through all of that, as anyone naturally would, God has a plan in that. Why them? Why then? God has a plan. The blindest people in the world are not people who don't have physical sight. The blindest people in the world are people who go through this world and never see God's hand at work. And they're lonely. They're blind. They've missed something. They've missed the Lord. God says to His people, as an eagle stirs it up, I'm going to stir up your life. Some of you are in the middle of that at this moment. You even wonder why this is collapsing or why are these things happening. God has a purpose. As an eagle builds, so the Lord builds. As an eagle breaks, so the Lord breaks. Then as an eagle broods, so the Lord broods. Look what he says here. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. Why is she fluttering over her young? She's watching them. She has this instinct to care for them, to see them fly. Here she goes in this majestic place, soaring back and forth in front of them. And they see her from the nest. Their vantage point has them locked into that nest they once loved being in. They were secure. It was the greatest place in the world, and they never wanted any other place. Ever sent a kid off to college somewhere? And you wonder how they could like anything but home or in addition to home? What's God doing? What's the Lord up to? Family move away. You think it's the worst thing ever happened. And a few years later, with some perspective, you say, that's the best thing that ever happened. It doesn't necessarily turn out always that way, but it can if we see the Lord in it and we follow Him. Oh, may God guide us. She's watching. And they get a hunger in their heart to get out of that nest from watching her. I said to my son, after he'd been here 10 or 12 years working with me in the ministry, I said, "Why do you want to leave and go do something?" He said, "Because I can't stand just sitting and listening anymore. I've got something I need to say." You understand that, don't you, Dad? And I wanted to say, "No." No. But I remember taking 6 months to tell Lee Robertson when I was working for him as an assistant pastor. It took me 6 months to approach him and to say to him, "I believe God wants me to pastor." I'd been a pastor 7.5 years before going to help him while I was in seminary, and I just never wanted to leave him. But I knew I had to choose between, of all things, God and Dr. Robertson. And for 6 months, I thought, well, I'll just choose Lee Robertson. And there wasn't anything wrong with him, nothing wrong with where I was. But the Lord had something for me. You see, and God is watching over. And you know, no one was as concerned about what happened to me as Dr. Robertson was. He wanted me to fly. First question out of his mouth, "Is this truly what you believe God wants you to do?" And once I said this word, "Yes," all debate was over. Every word of debate ended. And everything else then was to help me do what God wanted me to do. And there comes a moment where Mother Eagle has to say to those little ones, "It's been sweet knowing you, baby, but it's time to fly." And she broods over them and watches them. God broods over us. God cares about what happens to you, not just at this moment or in this incident. God cares what happens to you for a lifetime, and then generations you've influenced for their lifetime, and I can show from the Bible, generations they've influenced for their lifetime. And on it goes. He broods. She broods. He watches. He cares. The hardest thing I've ever done as a parent is to try to raise my children to live without me. That's the hardest thing I've ever done as a parent. I mean, to so fiercely do everything I could to protect them, and with the same energy and zeal to allow them to live without me. That's the hardest thing a parent has to do. And the transfer is made with God. You trusted God to take care of them, and now you trust God, the same God, to take care of them without you. I'll never forget going on the first flight I ever went on as a young husband and young father. I flew to Springfield, Illinois, to preach in a revival meeting in Petersburg, Illinois. And I looked out the plane window at my wife standing on the tarmac area back then. And I said, "Oh, God, while I'm not there and I'm gone this week preaching, will you please take care of Evelyn? Please take care of her." And God said to me, "Look, I've been taking care of her while you've been there with her. I'm sure they're going to take care of her while you're gone." That's the way it works, isn't it? As an eagle, so the Lord builds, breaks, broods. And then notice bears. She's flying above them. They attempt to fly. They start after her. And all the recorded work of watching eagles and young eaglets in flight, they've never recorded one young eaglet falling to its death. If they start to flutter and they can't make it, mother zooms beneath them like a rocket in flight, spreads out her wings, spreadeth her wings, the Bible says, and bears them on her wings, carries them up, 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 higher, so they catch the current again and try it until they can fly on their own. Never dropped a one. Maybe there was one dropped and they never recorded it, but I'll tell you this, God's never dropped a one. Lord, we're going through this again? Yes.
Lord, we're on this ride again.
Yes. And by the way, you know, I've given so much bad advice in my life. I'd like to give you a little bit good advice. If you say to someone, well, you know, you've had surgery in the past. You know God's been with you, and God's going to be with you now. That's a fact, but it doesn't help. Because faith, listen to me, faith is not something you store up. You have to have it fresh and new for everything you face. You could have made it through one battle and don't trust God in the next one and don't make it. You have to have faith again in the same God who never changes. And I hope there are things that build our faith and grow our faith. But the Lord bears us on His wings. You say, are there uncertainties? Certainly. Are there questions? Of course. But there's no uncertainty about God and no question about God. He's always the same. And I know those little eaglets knew mother could catch, but they had to get out there to find out mother can catch them. And you and I have to get out there to know that God does not fail us. He doesn't fail us. If you say, you know, I went through this when my daughter was young, or I went through this when my son was 14, or well, I went through whatever. Look, the battles are not over. A man that's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we're going to keep trusting Him and believing Him, knowing that God is with us. And whatever you're going through at this moment, God is still bearing us on eagle's wings, and He's bringing us unto Himself.